So we're going to move to Mary Lynn's case. Let me see. I had your history piece up here. Here it is. Okay. So not to – whoops. It's spinning. Okay. Ouch. All right. Okay. There we go. And not to shortchange you, so the second one I usually do less of the educational pieces, and you know, unless there's something new. So we won't review like all the reasons that I ask the questions for the all the supplements and other, but I will ask you questions. So Mary Lynn is 72, 5 foot and 92 pounds, so clearly not overweight, just right at a good weight. She's a student and a health coach. She's divorced and doesn't have children. Okay, so her main complaints are fatigue after meals, especially in the afternoon, ranging from mild to debilitating, including brain fog, a nap from 30 minutes to 1.5 hours, or maybe able to keep going without a nap. Started 15 years ago. Okay. And does it matter? You said it's not every single day, but it might, you might go a day without taking a nap. Have you noticed any patterns to what days you have worse severity, fatigue, and which one's not better?
Well, the good days come in clumps and vice versa. When I'm active and out of the house, have appointments, seeing people, I can seem to like push through it some days. And then when I get home from all of that, I may crash.
Yeah.
But I might make it through the whole day and feel fine.
Okay.
And I'm not really sure why.
Well, you might be just pumping adrenaline in on those days.
I think that happens, but.
Yeah.
There's other ups and downs that I can't explain.
Okay. So you're better when you sleep 8 or more hours a night. So
yeah.
That's what you should be doing. Duh. Yeah. And feels better after the nap. What time do you get up in the morning?
I aim for 7. It's often 8. And when I don't sleep well, I can sleep till 9. I don't want to sleep past 9. I try to keep some routine.
Okay. So usually getting up 7 to 8, but sometimes 9. What time are you going to bed?
11 to 12.
Okay. So your best sleep is going to be earlier. So you might just to feed that. So you're saying most nights 8 hours, but you may need to – have you ever done a sleep vacation?
It's hard for me to do, but yes, I've attempted it.
You've attempted it. So tell me what's hard.
Because I sleep often during the day, mm-hmm. that I wake up in many evenings, and so that's when I can get things done. So it's hard to wind myself down.
So here's what you can do. Like, you have to jump start it, right? You get into this bad habit and then, you know, you sleep during the day. So then you have energy at night and you stay up late and the pattern persists and you're not getting the best hours of sleep, you know, by getting, you know, to bed by 10 o'clock. So what I would recommend is that you push yourself through one day of not taking a nap. As tired as you may be, you just keep yourself going and then you go to bed at 9 o'clock that night.
Mm-hmm.
All right. And that can sometimes break that, right? You have to be extreme about it because if you just keep doing what you're doing, it's going to be hard to move that bedtime back, right? If you have a nap in the afternoon, you're going to be wired and ready to go. Make sense?
Yeah.
So that's what I would recommend you do. It's going to be hard and you're going to keep yourself busy and fan yourself with something, but make it a point that you have to stay up till at least 8. But 9 would be better because then your body's going to be going, okay, it's 9. Okay, I can go to sleep now and stay through the night. And then mm-hmm. see if you can get yourself to stay in bed, at least stay in bed till 9 the next day. And do that 3 days in a row.
Right.
Even if you can't sleep, you don't read, you don't do anything, but just lay there and meditate. You lay there and think. You can journal. You can do anything quiet. You listen to nice, soft music, but I want you to stay in bed from 9 to 9.
Okay, whole 12 hours.
A whole 12 hours. Yes, 3 days in a row.
Okay. That's what a sleep vacation is.
I heard Dr. Lodi, who runs an alternative cancer place in Arizona, and he talked about how from the hours from nine to three, you can get, in that 6 hours, you can get a better sleep than from midnight until 8 or 9. And that's 8 hours, right? So because it's more restful, it's more deep. So he has all his people who have cancer to do that. And sometimes after they've replenished, some of them are still, they're only getting 6 hours of sleep, but they're getting up at, you know, 3, 4 in the morning. You're not there yet, but I'm saying get to bed by 9, really enjoy that early, those early hours when your body can replenish, but you're going to have to get yourself bloody tired to be able to do it.
I can usually fall asleep fairly quickly.
Good.
When I go to bed.
Great. So then you just got to keep yourself up, keep yourself busy. Don't watch a movie. Don't read something that's boring. When you get that urge to, you know, go to bed and take a nap, resist it. Resist it. Do your best to stay up till 9. Whatever you have to do to resist it. Go in the kitchen, make some food, you know, do something more active that's not going to let you fall asleep. And then stay up till the 9. And try that 3 days in a row. Because I think it's going to really replenish you dramatically. You know, sometimes it's as simple as sleep deprivation that's causing people to have a problem. I had somebody do that. And she'd been going and going and going. And it was amazing the transformation that happened in her by doing that. We have somebody in our ERC program now. She started doing it. And now she does it once a month. She does a sleep vacation once a month. Tremendous difference in her focus and her energy.
Okay.
I think it could help a lot.
It is. There are some days, and maybe fewer recently, that after I eat, and sometimes I haven't even finished the meal yet, I feel this heaviness suspend on my body. Like I cannot think. I can't even function. Just so heavy. I've got to go lie down.
Yeah. So that to me says that there's something taxing your digestion, or there's something that you have a major food sensitivity to, or it's something that's shooting your blood sugar up and then your blood sugar's crashing. One of those three things. So you got to determine what those are. So I would keep a diet and symptom diary. And this is something to get your people to do. Do it yourself so you know how it goes, because they're going to fight you on it and you're probably going to fight me on it. But it's really important because you start to see patterns. And even if you don't see your own pattern, if you give it to somebody else that's in the program or bring it to one of these calls, we'll see patterns that you may not see. Okay? And so I would say that I would look at that, and I'd also start taking your blood sugar. Do you measure your own blood sugar?
I have again more recently. Okay. And I've noticed that there's been a little blood sugar creep. I thought that in the past I had checked the blood sugar and I found that I could eat a little bit of certain fruits or a little bit of something that had a little bit of sugar in it, as long as I had some fiber and it was a small portion of the meal, I was fine. But I checked again and I ate a small piece of yam with a salad, and my blood sugar went to 145.
Okay. So there you go. So,
and I couldn't sleep that night.
Absolutely. So we're going to be starting up our blood sugar balancing program. We've renamed it, rebranded. It's called the Sweet Spot Solution. We're going to be starting it real soon. In fact, I'm going to announce it tomorrow night. So you guys can have access to it, and I'll go through it. Go through it with us as a group. Like, dig in the way you would have your patients dig in, your clients dig in, your friends dig in. Because it's amazing how that can make, how much of a difference that can make.
Yeah. I need to do it again.
Yep. Yep. Because we get out of that realm and then you go back and you start eating things and that maybe are throwing you off. And the sleep makes a huge difference. So.
And I think I have an issue too.
Oh. You have a what issue? A yeast issue?
I think it addressed yeast, so that's another reason I've got it.
Okay. So I just looked at the time, and I realized that we are, like, at the end of our call, and I have, like, another thing that I have to get ready for it in an hour with a client who sent me 112 pages of labs, which I haven't made it all the way through. And I want to stop here because I want to continue you on the next call, whatever that next call is. But I wanted to a quick look at your labs just to see if anything jumps out at me that I can give you. But I think for you, this sleep thing is huge. And I think I would like to see you working on that. Let's see. Here's your Genova. Oh, that's not you. Is that you? No, that's the person I'm seeing later. What happened to? Okay, so that's Susan. What happened to yours?
That's me.
Okay, that's yours. Okay.
Now this is a year old.
Okay, so this is a year old. Yeah.
And then I have a coat test that's brand new.
Okay, so fats, again, fat malabsorption, that might be another reason that you're falling asleep after meals if you're eating a meal that's higher in fats. So I would get yourself a digestive enzyme that's high in lipase and start with that. Now, it might be that you need some do you have a gallbladder?
Yes.
Okay, so it might just be that you're not producing enough lipase, although the pancreatic function seems okay. It may be exceeding the fat ability for you, might not be producing enough bile acids. There's a lot of reasons for that, but you're not absorbing fat well, and that would cause you to be exhausted after a meal. You've got a bug, right? 655, not as high as Susan's, but you've got your secretory IgA is high. Your body's fighting something. That would exhaust you too, especially if you eat a meal that has more starch or sugar, even natural sugar, that's going to feed some of the bugs. Your butyrate is okay, unlike Susan's. So I think your short chain fatty acids are okay. That's not something I would be looking at. Beta glucuronidase is high.
So after that, I took calcium gluconate.
Yeah, glucurate.
For a while. But
okay.
So
that'd be something to redo because this is old, so I don't want to give you. I can't, make any recommendations based on this. Bacterial markers look okay. Ovum parasites look okay. And this thing is, here we go. No occult blood. Everything else is negative. And your no ovum parasites. I don't know why this is not filling. Oh, there we are, GI. Lactobacillus is, the bifidus is on the low end of normal, but the lacto is not. So again, not knowing enough, I would probably make sure you're doing your probiotic kind of foods every day, but you may want to fortify them with, you can put a little bit of bacillus. It's very low. So your good flora is low. So some good probiotic foods is going to help you a lot. And then let's look at your, there we go. What is this?
Oh, that is.
Okay.
That's part of
Great Plains. Okay.
Yeah.
So you got one bacterial marker. So you didn't have a lot on the other, but you have one bacterial marker. It's not that high, but it's a little high. I would just be making sure that you get good probiotics in you. You have a couple of other bacterial markers. And they're not terribly high, but, certainly eating antimicrobial foods, I don't think you need to go and do a whole big antimicrobial. And again, this is a year ago, so.
This is
the most recent. This is the most recent. That's right.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, C. diff. Yeah, so there's some, I would say, from a bacterial standpoint, alternating some of the antibacterial type herbs like oregano and like berberine and caprylic can be useful, and olive leaf extract and a number of those, and you can do those as food form as well. But I would be getting some of that and replenishing with some good bacteria. Glycolic. A little sensitivity here, but the glycolic is low. And I have to look that one up to see what that means with it low. I haven't looked at one of these in a while. A little bit off on your Krebs cycle, and that could explain it. Do you do B vitamins?
Yes.
Yeah? Activated forms?
activated form of
you
the
know, like the methyl and the P5P mm-hmm. and riboflavin 5-phosphate and
I take a methyl B12 and a methylated methylfolate. I'm not sure what that riboflavin that you mentioned. I don't know what that is.
R5P, yeah. Okay.
You take a pure encapsulation B complex.
Okay, good. That's activated. That's definitely activated.
Okay.
Okay, so the only other things that are jumping out, this is saying there is some ketone activity.
Yeah, those high ketones.
Yeah, I don't think they're necessarily bad to have high ketones. Depends on what you're doing. If the days that you did this, you were on a fast or a super low carb diet, then you would see high ketones, which actually could be favorable. Right? Ascorbic, I'm not worried about it.
I have my blood tests tend to show that my protein is low.
Low, yeah.
And so I supplement with amino acids, the MAP.
The MAP, yeah. Uh-huh. I like that one.
So I don't know if that had anything to do with why I would have ketones or how.
No, not at all, no. Not that I know of. Okay, so we'll have to look up this one, the phenylpyruvic. Let's see if they say anything on this report. Yeah, and these are great to read. I mean, they seem like Greek when you first start reading them, but after a while they start to make sense. Yeah, let's finish this up on the next call. I don't want to try to rush through this, and I really have to get going, or I'm going to be late for my other call.
Okay, thank you.
Okay, yeah, you're welcome. You're welcome. Sorry it took so long on Susan's, but I think everybody learned a lot, and I think you have some definite homework to do, Mary Lynn.
Yep, I think so.
Okay. Okay, everybody. I'm going to open up everybody's lines, and we'll say goodbye, and... Public. Bye-bye, everybody.
Bye.
Bye. Thank you.